Hey everyone, welcome to Locked On Lakers, a bonus episode after the Lakers beat the Warriors 124-116 on Saturday night. LeBron James goes for 56.
Damn.
Yeah, and the Lakers break their losing streak. More on that and more on where the Lakers stand in the West next.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks to everybody for making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day, Monday through Friday. And as you can see, sometimes on Sundays, Andy, the Lord's Day, we get a new podcast up and out for you. And no matter how you get your podcast, you get them.
As the Bible told us, on the seventh day, the Lord recorded.
I like to think that we do the Lord's work. So put one out on a Sunday makes a lot of sense. A couple things we learned.
We are actually, Brian, the Lord's first listen.
Of every day.
Yes, every day. God listens to us first, no matter what your religion is. Let me just tell you right now, I don't care what higher
all
power
them.
You believe
all of them.
In.
Yes. They all listen to it. This
absolutely.
Is right for all of them.
Even if you're one of them, like old schoolers who goes like Greek gods, stuff like that, they all listen
all
to us first.
They have a big party. They listen to us. Mm-hmm. So we learned a couple things as the Lakers beat the Warriors 124-116. The first, which is LeBron James, is still excellent, and we'll spend some time on that. 56 points, Andy. A very efficient 56 on 19 of 31 from the floor. The second one is Matt Stafford was in the crowd, and once again LeBron showed out. He did it for Aaron Donald heading into the All-Star break, which just goes to show the Lakers need to make sure a member of the Rams is at every game. Fly them on the road if you need to. Put them in the front row and make sure LeBron sees them.
If the Lakers do end up getting into the play, and at least for the time being, it seems like they're going to be on the road and they're not going to know their opponent till the last minute. I don't care what it costs. You take the entire team that is still under contract. You fly them charter last minute to wherever the hell building that is. Yeah. It's worth it, Genie. Do it.
Absolutely. So 56 points from LeBron James in an effort to impress Matt Stafford. And they needed to win badly.
And there were some good contributions, by the way, because I know we're going to end up getting a lot into the LeBron of it all. But I thought Russ had a nice game, 20 points, had some good plays down the stretch. Carmelo Anthony, 14 off the bench, 8 boards. And in the first half, some really good defensive plays. Like I isolated having to guard guys like Wiggins and Klay Thompson.
Yeah, he on an island. Held his own. I actually thought Austin Reeves played the best defensive game of anybody on the team. They noted it on the broadcast. But they keep lining up, kind of one-on-one to try to take him on, and he keeps over and over. This by now, people should know, like just because he looks like, Johnny Hayseed does not mean you can actually beat him off the dribble easily. He played a really nice game defensively. It's just like, look, I mean, like there, it wasn't perfect, but the Lakers don't care about that right now. They badly needed to win. We'll get back to LeBron. Like you said, the Westbrook game was needed because most of the chatter going in, a lot of the broadcast was taken up by talk about Russell Westbrook, reports from Adrian Wojnarowski. That they thinking about benching the guy to bring him off the bench, and Vogel's been resisting.
Stuff we'll get into for Monday's show. Now
in more depth. Point being, he was, he needed a good game. The Lakers needed a good game. Everyone needed a good game, and they got a good game. Like, we're not looking for style points here.
No, but you know what? There were times where the Lakers actually played in a pretty pleasing style. The fourth quarter of this game
was bananas.
Massively entertained. That, like, I don't know if you saw, Brian, but on Twitter, 24, 48 hours leading up to this, basically after the last bad Laker loss, you saw a lot of NBA and Lakers Twitter saying that the league and ESPN should have flexed this game. Shame on all of you. Look at what you would have missed if the league and ESPN, if everybody had reacted to your knee-jerk panic. You would have missed this, man. You would have missed history.
Charles Barkley was damn near in tears on Thursday on the TNT. Like, we are not putting these people on TV anymore. And, you know, to be fair, that's been true, I think, for most of the year. But it wasn't on Saturday. And it's just, look, I mean, like you said, for Monday's show, we're going to get deep into all of this stuff with Westbrook and all of this stuff that's been coming out. Mark Stein wrote about it. There's been just a lot of reporting around where Westbrook stands now with the team and certainly going forward into next year. I mean, the story of this game is LeBron James and 56 points, 19 of 31 from the floor, 12 of 13 from the free throw line. The Lakers were 18 of 21 from the stripe.
This was the rare game, Brian, where their opponents crapped the bed at the line and actually kept the Lakers, who were making free throws, in a game. Like, that never happens.
No. And it's just, you know, you marvel at, you know, I know it's a lot of people that, you know, the age and this and that, whatever, which is certainly relevant here, but, you know, 56 is 56. And, you know, putting a team on his back and leading them to a win that they badly needed. It was just fun to watch.
Yeah. And, you know, LeBron's performance was just incredible. He was scoring from everywhere. He had a back-to-back-to-back three-point flurry. And the best part of it was right after he hit the third, Jeff Van Gundy said, you know, heat checks rarely work, or something to that effect. And
yeah, like, he said heat checks rarely work, and as if on cue.
Yes, LeBron buries that three. And it was tremendously entertaining. It was also just a tremendous reminder of, you know, even somebody who has said, like, we are at a place where you cannot count on LeBron to automatically carry your team through whatever, no questions asked, at this stage of his career. And I stand by that assessment. That being said, though, every now and then, he's still going to look like the dude that can do damn well whatever he pleases. And this was one of those nights.
Well, there's a difference, Andy, between can't drag any five dudes that you throw together.
Sure.
To the finals, you know, like, which is sort of where his career has been at different points.
That used to be his baseline. That's crazy, right. But it was.
Just give me four other players and we'll see what we can do. He's still really damn good. And I, you know, look, the other side of that is, like, you know, it was a tight game. And at different points, you were like a little concerned as to whether or not the Lakers were actually going to win. They outscored Golden State by 13 in the fourth quarter. Like, you know, it wasn't exactly a foregone conclusion that they're going to win this game. And, you know, you were worried that they were going to lose a 56 point game from LeBron and then give this away. So, like, does this change the grand outlook of the team? No, but I think it's important for fans of the Lakers, and, you know, presumably that's who is, you know, listening to this right now. It's like, it's sometimes you have to separate things. It's like, okay, in the grand scheme of things, it's not going well, and this doesn't change it, but, like, let's stop and appreciate 56 points from LeBron James. And, you know, really genuine, you know, the passing, you had a couple, you know, and a chase down block, which should have been a goaltend, but, you know, whatever. And all that stuff, because, you know, there haven't been a lot of happy moments. So let's take advantage of this one.
Yeah, there were a couple interesting takeaways from this in terms of, you know, what LeBron did and also the way LeBron talked about it. First of all, saw this stat courtesy of our friends over at Buckets, that podcast with Josiah and Zach and LeJethro. Age 37 or higher in NBA history, 50-plus point games. MJ, 2001. Kobe, 2016, obviously, the 60-point finale. LeBron, we just saw this. And Jamal Crawford, I believe it was 2019. Fun fact about Jamal's performance, and we both are just unapologetic Jamal Crawford fans.
Great guy.
He's an incredible guy and just loves basketball. He did his 51 off the bench as a 37.
And I'll be honest with you, like, I know a lot of people, including Jamal Crawford, I think may finally have sort of given up, but, like, believe that he should still be in the league in this. And I don't. And I think if you gave him 25 games in the NBA, in 24 of them, he probably wouldn't do a whole lot to help. But in that 25th, he could probably drop 50. Like, like he just, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, and, well, you know, so like things like that. And it's just, yeah, I saw some tweet went by that like celebrated Jonathan the Tortoise, who is 190 years old and is the oldest mm-hmm. living creature on the planet, oldest like living animal. And I'm like, you know, aside from the Lakers. And
boom,
like,
got him.
I know, like it's just like the age part of this, and like this, like gets improved. Like doing that at 37 is insane.
Yeah,
he's playing 30 minutes a night, or 30 almost, you know, 37, 38 minutes a night, and averaging about 30 points. What he's doing this year is insane.
There's no template for it.
No, it's a shame it's not more valuable in terms of wins and losses, but that doesn't diminish how absolutely gobsmacking, ridiculously impressive that it is.
Yeah.
It doesn't negate too any of the stuff that you said before about how you still need to put a better team around him.
Yeah. I mean, I think it is true. Right. I mean, it is perfectly reasonable to expect that even LeBron would need high quality teammates around him and a roster that works at age 37 with roughly a billion miles under his belt. The other thing, though, that was really interesting that came up was just the idea of LeBron's legacy and place in history as a scorer. And, you know, coincidentally, and who knows, I mean, knowing how calculating LeBron is, maybe this was just one hell of a promotion for the latest episode of The Shop, his HBO show. But apparently during this show, it came up that LeBron, it pisses him off that he's not, in his mind at least, and I don't think this is without necessarily any merit, he's not talked about as one of like the all-time great scorers or thought of that way. And I think it is in part because, you know, LeBron truly does not have a score-first mentality. He right. has a pass-first mentality. He's really a point guard who's just an exceptional scorer. And, you know, like also early in his career, LeBron took a lot of flack for, you know, doing what he thought were the right basketball plays, you know, which sure. was often passing to the open man and Donyell somebody would Marshall. Miss a shot. Right. Donyell Marshall. Smith's
still pissed about that.
Right. Or, you know, this has fueled Skip Bayless for like a decade and a half. Like, you know, just the idea that he doesn't want the big shot in the clutch. He passes it off. But, you know, Melo was talking after the game and, you know, Melo is one of the all-time great scorers and he is thought of that way. And he said that, like, you know, there are guys in the league who can score, and like that's what they do. And he mentioned himself, he mentioned like KD, you know, just the guys who go out on the court and they are always thinking about scoring. Kobe was like that, as right. versatile a player as Kobe was.
No, he would have told you that. He was a yeah. scorer first. Yeah,
exceptionally well-rounded player, but he was a scorer by birth and blood. Like, that's not LeBron. LeBron is a guy who is always looking to pass, which makes where he is in the pantheon of all-time great scorers even more incredible, because he's not somebody that was looking to do it at all times.
Yeah, we could get into this a little bit more over the course of the week, but I also think it's a couple things that are related to that. First, he puts up 30 all the time, but you don't think of him as a guy who routine drops 50, 60, you know, 70, like these sort of garish scoring games or not. You think of more of as a triple double guy, again, kind of to your point. The other thing is he's not elegant. He's not an elegant scorer. He's not MJ flying through the, he's force and he's smarts and he's, you know, the jumper, which has gotten much better now, and he's a much better 3-point shooter than he used to be. It's not, you know, beautiful. You know,
it's not clear.
And so I think the aesthetics of it have something to do with it as well, but whatever, 56 points, that'll get it done. Lots more to cover on Monday with the show, and we'll talk about Russ, talk about all this stuff that went on over the course of the weekend. But hey, at least everybody gets to enjoy the last day of their weekend, and we'll see everybody Monday after we tell you about this.
Locked on Lakers being brought to you by Bet Online. Basketball, as you just witnessed tonight, in full swing for both pro and college hoops, and all the latest. Nike, if you're looking to sponsor this podcast, we are open for business. And for all the latest odds, totals, player performance props to where the next fired coach is going to land. BetOnline.net is the number one spot for all your sport betting needs. BetOnline remains the best spot for all your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. It's not just basketball. BetOnline.net is your source for hockey, boxing, and UFC odds and information. So head to the website today, use your mobile device, learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
You know, Andy, Locked On Lakers is also brought to you by Built Bar. It's March. You've given up on your New Year's resolutions. Probably you, because you just can't hack it. Me, because I'm so yoked at this point. I have to back off. Otherwise, the workouts are meaningless. I can't gain anymore. But Built Bar is the key to sustaining whatever it is that you were trying to do for your fitness goals throughout the year. Because when you're eating the Built Bars, it's almost like you're not even following through on a resolution. You're just doing things that are delicious. Have you tried the Puffs, Andy? If you haven't, you've been missing out on one of Built Bar's best tasting bars. They are the first ever protein infused marshmallow, fluffy, marshmallowy, not just a protein bar. They're a treat. And they, like all the other Built Bars, Andy, covered in 100% real chocolate. Fan favorites in these Puff flavors: cinnamony churro, coconut marshmallow, banana cream pie. So good. These are all going to be your new favorites. And Built Bars, like all the Puffs and the bars, are all covered in 100% chocolate, high protein, low calorie. Replace your candy bars with these. They're just better. Typical candy bar, anywhere from 200 to 300 calories. Built Bar, 130. So go to built.com, use the promo code LOCK15, get 15% off your order. Again, use the promo code LOCK15 for 15% at built.com. Locked On Lakers on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe there. Thanks for making us first listen. We'll see everybody on Monday.